Nehmen wir eine kleine Hühnerei. Nun das Wetter.
Kam es denn für...
Oh, ist das lecker.
Küchenfunk.
Is one, two, three.
Okay, this is good.
Okay.
So maybe you can introduce yourself.
Okay, so my name's Adam Robinson. I'm from Portland, Oregon, and I work at the Rum Club.
Rum Club?
Yeah.
But you're not only doing rum.
No. Rum's our focus. We have, it changes, but usually about 100 rums, give or take. But
okay.
But we probably have 250 different spirits and liqueurs at any given time. Yeah. But it's mainly rum focus. Our menu, we have anywhere from 16 to 18 cocktails on the menu, about half of which are always rum.
Yeah, and you're a bartender.
Yes, yeah. I manage as well occasionally. Currently, I'm just a bartender, but I used to manage the rum club. My other jobs, I used to manage the bars and restaurants and stuff. But right now, I got a lot of other stuff going on in my life, so it's easier just to bartend so I can do stuff like this, like come to Cognac. Go to Scotland, competitions, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. How do you come to Cognac?
So I won a competition. It was pretty awesome. It was two rounds. One was in Portland during Portland Cocktail Week, which is an awesome, it's a festival that happens in October. It's for bartenders by bartenders. And so it's usually 400 to 500 people. It's in Portland. It's just a really, really good time. And then the finals were in New York as part of the Manhattan Cocktail Classic.
Okay, is it a worldwide competition or was it American?
This one is just for the States, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what do you do with, how you win?
Well, so I had to submit a drink, which I made in both rounds, which was VSOP Cognac, Dolan Genepi the Alps, Amatiliato Sherry, and Chinar. And then in both different competitions, the second round, it's kind of... They want you to think on your feet, so you pick what they called an inspiration card. And I had 2 minutes to think and grab ingredients, and then I had like 5 minutes to make like four drinks or three drinks.
What was on the card?
The first one was in Portland. It was put a bird on it.
A bird on it.
Which is like, there's a show in the States called Portlandia, which is a satirical show about Portland, because Portland is a very interesting place. And they did this one skit called Put a Bird on It, and the whole theme was, in Portland, you can put a bird on anything, and it becomes art.
Yeah, okay.
And so it's kind of like a running joke. And so I made a drink with Famous Grouse and Cherry Herring and, everything that's like a bird. And then in New York, the card was Bridge and Tunnel, which is a term that people in Manhattan use to describe people who come into the city from the suburbs and from New Jersey, because they have to come and they travel over bridges and tunnels. And generally speaking, it's not a compliment.
Yeah, okay.
It's a bit of a negative connotation.
Okay.
Yeah. And that drink, I used a really nice cognac. Actually, I kind of made the cognac guy a little pissed because I opened the bottle and it was like a $300 bottle. And it was an XO reserve, so... the French only like to drink that straight. But I mixed it with Averna Amaro, Cokie Americano, Laird's Bonded Apple Brandy, which is the oldest distillery in the States, and then some Black Mission Fig Bitters from Brooklyn.
Okay.
And of all the drinks I made, that was, I think, the best one. And I came up with it in 90 seconds,
Okay, and how you get the bridge to the cart you pick? What is are the ingredients?
Well, so there's a lot of Italians that live in New Jersey, Brooklyn, Staten Island.
Yeah.
So a lot of quote unquote bridge and tunnel people are of Italian heritage. So I grabbed a couple of Italian ingredients, and then I grabbed the Laird's Bonded Apple Brandy because it's nicknamed Jersey Lightning. It's New Jersey. It's always been made. It's traditionally is made there. I don't believe it is anymore, but. That is distinctly New Jersey. And then the bitters I used were made in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
What are, yesterday we talked about it, what are bitters?
Bitters are basically a maceration. Usually it's high-proof alcohol with different flavors. There's such a thing called a tincture, and tinctures are generally one ingredient, one flavor. Like you have lavender, or you have, or maybe it's just some sort of bittering agent. But and then bitters are technically a blend of of tinctures. So usually there's some sort of bittering ingredient, quinine, cinchona bark, quassia, you know, some sort of bittering agents, and then you add flavoring agents, cinnamon, clove, allspice, you know, whatever you really want.
Okay, and you use it very much in the cocktails?
Bitters? Oh, yeah. Yeah, many people would say that bitters, you like the definition of a cocktail, spirit, sugar, water, bitters, kind of, you know, that's an
no old acid?
Well, I mean, a lot of people say it's not a cocktail without bitters, which isn't true, but they are an integral part of cocktails, especially like a Manhattan. A classic martini has orange bitters in it. You know, most places you go, they will, in most places you go, unless you're at a geeky bar, unless you order it that way, they won't put orange bitters in your martini. But classically speaking, you know, there used to be orange bitters. You know, I mean, the martini's evolved quite a bit from what it was in 1900. You know?
Yeah.
But a Manhattan, you can't make a Manhattan without bitters.
And how they invent the bitters?
They were originally invented, I believe it was for the Bolivian army by a doctor. A doctor was living in South America. They needed a tonic, something to add to water to kind of cure ailments. You know, you know, most Italian bitters like Amaro, all those, historically speaking, have medicinal properties, you know, whether it's to aid in digestion. You know, a lot of times, bitters, and you have an upset stomach, some bitters and soda, drink that and it'll settle your stomach.
Okay.
Or like bitters on a lemon peel, you know, if you have hiccups or something.
Yeah.
But I mean, bitters are great. It's a great way to add an extra flavor or level of complexity to a drink.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And what's your favorite liquor? What do you prefer?
At the moment, I love rum.
Rum?
Rum. Yeah, I used to be a whiskey guy, and I still am. I still enjoy whiskey, but I'm definitely a rum guy. And part of that, I think, is when you taste whiskeys, you know, whether it's Irish, Scotch, bourbon, rye, you know it's a whiskey. Whereas rums, the spectrum is way bigger. You have aged rums, unaged rums, you know, really sweet rums, really dry rums. There's rum agricole, you know, cachaça, you know, it's its own category, but it's a sugarcane spirit. Yeah,
and from which country you prefer the rum? You have a special rum that you like the most?
I mean, I love Ron Zacapa, you know, I love their XO. Trinidad, Guyana, I really love Guyanan rums. Yeah. They're richer. And Jamaica, funky Jamaican rums, I like a lot.
You try to get rum from Cuba?
Oh, yeah. Every time I go to Canada, I bring bottles back. And every time my Canadian friends come down from Canada, they bring me bottles. Totally illegal. But, I mean, I don't sell it in my bar. You know, we just drink it.
Okay.
But, yeah. It's good, but it's not amazing. It's just good because we can't get it. You know?
Yeah,
it's a whole, everyone wants what they can't get, you know?
Yeah, this is a nice thing about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about how I'm a rum guy. Yeah, I know where we left off.
Yeah,
so the thing about rum, which is interesting, which I really like, is unlike, say, a whiskey, if you taste a scotch, an Irish whiskey, a bourbon, a rye, I can tell it's a whiskey. You know, like, generally speaking, whiskeys share some similar characteristics.
Yeah.
However, with rum, there's several different distilling styles, Spanish style, you know, there's definitely different styles. Some are unaged, some are aged really long. There's no real regulations to rum production.
Yeah.
So the possibilities are, I mean, I don't want to say endless, but, you know, it's pretty open-ended. So you can have really, just recently my father was visiting me and he came to my bar and he's not a rum drinker. He likes whiskey, but you know, we have 100 rums, and some of them have some distinctly whiskey characteristics. Some of them are aged in the Caribbean for a very long time, so they get tons of oak influence, you know, and they're really dry. And I was serving my father those whiskeys those rums, and he loved them. And I never thought rum could be so smooth, he said. And, I always thought rum was sweet, but...
It was old rums?
Yeah, one was a 21-year-old Jamaican rum, but one was a 12-year-old rum from Dominican Republic. You know, so that's not that old, but you know, the evaporation in that part of the, you know, rum age in the Dominican Republic is gonna, you know, age or evaporate a lot quicker than say whiskey.
Yeah.
So you know, kind of concentrates those flavors and it gets really pulls the wood out. But yeah, I mean, you got rum agricole. Yeah, I love rum.
What are your favorite rum cocktails?
Favorite rum cocktails? I mean, I love a good rum old fashioned and also a daiquiri.
What is this?
A daiquiri is the classic rum cocktail. However, it's been bastardized over the last, you know, few decades. Many people think it's a super sugary, sweet, often flavored with strawberries or bananas, and they think it's blended, you know, in a blender. When in actuality, a real true daiquiri is nothing but rum, lime, and sugar shaken, hand shaken, and then served up. It's just a really refreshing, it can be a light and refreshing cocktail if you use a nice dry white rum. It can be really funky. One of my favorite daiquiris is called a Captain's Blood, and it's a Jamaican rum daiquiri with the addition of Angostura bitters. So I often use several different Jamaican rums. I'll use a real funky one and then one that's less funky. Sweeten it with cane syrup, some lime, a couple dashes of bitters. I mean, I literally, at my job, I mean, I'd make 50 daiquiris a night, easy. But sometimes I really blow people's mind because people in the States and everywhere have, you know, they have this perception of a daiquiri that maybe they had at in Miami or, you know, some Myrtle Beach, some resort place where it's improperly made, it's in a blender, it's bright red, you know. So a lot of people have this negative connotation for daiquiris, but when made properly, it's an amazing thing.
Okay, I never tried it.
Yeah, you should. But yeah, like easiest recipe, white rum, like 2 ounces, maybe 1.5. Like say you do 1.5 ounces white rum, 3/4 ounces lime, fresh lime juice, and then 1/2 ounce of sugar. I would suggest maybe cane syrup or a 2-to-1 demerara syrup, or, you know, I like using stuff other than white refined white sugar, because white refined sugar, it adds sweetness but adds nothing else, whereas using unrefined sugar, you're going to add some more flavor, you know, some complexity.
Caramel notes?
Yeah, exactly. And cane syrup, like we buy this cane syrup that's it's really great. It's from Martinique. It's made with fresh sugar cane juice, and it adds really great flavors to daiquiris.
Is it a sour? Oh, because of the lime and the sugar?
Yeah. It's definitely a sour.
It's a category. Yeah. Sour. Okay.
It's a rum sour served up.
Okay.
Yeah, it's super simple. 3 ingredients, you know.
And how often do you find new recipes for new cocktails? You are doing them very often and get them in your program, or how often this happened?
I mean, I'm always kind of keeping an eye out to, like, you know, any cocktail bartender, you know, any good cocktail bartender has a book. Usually it's a moleskin full of recipes, and the idea is to fill that puppy up, you know, like put as much stuff in there. And, you know, once it's good to have those, because you can't remember every recipe, you know, like there's recipes I've made dozens of times, but that's dozens of times over the last 8 years, you know. Like, if I make a drink once or twice a year, I might not remember the proportions that I like. But, yeah, I mean, I often, you know, I look to, like, I don't discover old, you know, recipes, but I look to people like Beach Bum Berry and his books for tiki cocktails, because I don't know a ton of tiki drinks. It's not really my style, but people love those drinks, and I like to make them because they can be a lot of fun and really delicious. And yeah, I mean, I'm always searching, you know, the internet, or I have dozens and dozens of cocktail books at home, you know, just kind of sit down with a daiquiri and start flipping through and, you know, see what you come up with. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not, you know.
And you know, when the chefs have a special drink, a special meal, where people come from, this, I don't know the name at the moment,
And it's the dish where it's complex for this chef.
It's like their signature dish?
Signature, yeah.
Yeah.
You get this for bars. You have cocktails, it's a signature cocktail.
Of course, of course. Yeah, I mean, there. So I have a thing when I go to city. I like going to bars that invented a certain cocktail and ordering that cocktail. So, you know, there's a... Sometimes they're old bars, sometimes they're new bars. Like, there's a bar in New Orleans called Cure, and two of my all-time favorite drinks are from there. Like, my favorite drink of all time is from there. And, you know, I make it all the time, and I know the recipe, but there's something about going there and having it, you know, from the people, you know, because when I make it, I tell people, because it's an amazing drink, and it blows people's minds. But I always let them know that it's not mine, yes, you know, because they've never heard of it. Like, I mean, I think as long as you give credit when credit's due, you know, like, you can make drinks that other people came up with. It's not, you know, I share my recipes, and that's the way I look at bartending. Like, why keep that secret, you know? Why not, you know, share and, you know, make everyone a better at their job?
You have a own signature cocktail?
Yeah, I would say I have two. One of which is called the Fino Countdown, which is a really bad pun from that song, The Final Countdown. Okay, it's a really complicated drink, but at my job, we combine a lot of ingredients. We have what's called our sherry batch. It's two different sherries mixed together, and we keep it like that in the well, because we use it all the time. We blend rums all the time. We have three or four different rum blends we use on a regular basis. So the recipe is going to sound really kind of long, but for me, when I make it, it's only five touches. I only have to touch five things. But it's 3/4 of an ounce of Lustau Fino sherry, 3/4 of an ounce of Lustau cream sherry, 1/2 ounce of blackstrap rum, 1/2 ounce of Jamaican overproof rum, and then 3/4 of an ounce of lemon juice, about 1/3 of an ounce of a special tiki syrup called Don Spices Number 2, which if you look it up on the internet, you can find a basic recipe for it. It's a lot of baking spice notes to it, cinnamon, clove, allspice, and then it has 2 dashes of Angostura bitters, 2 dashes of Peychaud's bitters. Put in a mixing glass, shake it not for very long, like half the time you would a normal drink, because you don't want to over dilute it, and then you serve it on the rocks. Yeah, that's one. And the other one I would say would be it's called the Saint Elizabeth Sour, which is pretty much just it's a Beefeater gin sour. So it's 2 ounces of Beefeater gin. I think it's been a while since I've made it, but 3/4 of an ounce of lemon juice, 1/2 ounce of Aperol, and then like 1/4 ounce of a 1/2 ounce of a ginger syrup, and then you serve it in a large, like a double rocks glass with no ice. But before you shake it, but before you strain it into the glass, you take St. Elizabeth's Allspice Dram, which is an allspice liqueur, and using a little spray mister,
yeah,
you spray the inside of the glass, kind of like you would with a Sazerac. You know, you just rinse the glass in the allspice, and then you strain the drink in there. And basically, when you go to drink it, you know, you have this really big glass, short drink in it, no ice. As you start to drink it, your nose smells the allspice, and it's very intense. But then you taste it, and you don't taste any of the allspice. It kind of like plays with your senses a little bit, and I really like doing rinses like that, you know, with really bold flavors that aren't in the drink. I don't know. I made that up at a restaurant I used to work at 4 years ago, and people to this day still go to that restaurant and ask for it, basically. So, yeah, I'd say those are my. If I had to say I had a signature cocktail, those would be it. And at the bar I work at currently, we have a house daiquiri and a house old fashioned, and those would be our signature drinks.
Okay.
And they're both amazing. They're so good.
And wonderful.
Yeah.
And what about bourbon? I'm coming from Germany, and it's really difficult to become good bourbon, because it's all Jack Daniels and
Well, and Jack Daniels isn't even bourbon. It's a Tennessee whiskey.
Okay.
Which is a basic law thing, but
okay.
Yeah.
But I don't like them because for me they're too sweet.
Yeah.
In the taste, but I think they produce good bourbon, but you not get them here in Germany. Do you have good bourbon? Do you like bourbon?
We have great bourbon. I mean, I was in Kentucky last year, and my favorite or my preferred bourbon distillery is Buffalo Trace. I really like Buffalo Trace. You know, they have their house. They have the one label Buffalo Trace, which is there's no age expression. It's a blend, but it's slightly overproof, so it's 45%, but it's really great. And they also make something called W.L. Weller, and they make a few of these, a 7-year, a 9-year. Those are you don't see those in most bars in the States. Generally speaking, if you see it on the back bar, you're in a place that knows their whiskey, because it's made by Buffalo Trace, but they don't advertise, so you're not paying for any advertising when you buy that bottle, and it's really quite reasonably priced for what it is. Four Roses, I like some of their stuff a lot. Their yellow label is one of my go-tos when it comes to mixing cocktails. There's certain rye. I mean, kind of on the high end, the stuff I really like on the high end, Michter's is great.
And you drink them pure or always in the cocktail? Because I like to drink the liquor pure to get an idea what they want me to tell. And for bourbon, I have only the excuse to put it in the cocktail.
I'm going to tell you a little secret. A lot of cocktail bartenders don't drink a lot of cocktails. You do your first few years, you know, or maybe before you become a cocktail bartender, when you really get into it and you go out and you drink cocktails everywhere. But generally speaking, only time I order cocktails is when I'm like, I go out, I'm in the mood, or I'm traveling and I want to see other bars. I want to try other people's cocktails. I mean, there's a few like, I'm not going to lie, I'm a geek. I have very specific tastes. I know what I like. I like very bold flavors in my cocktails. And not many places have those on their menu because that is not the common taste. So I either order off menu, I order drinks that I know, or there's one bar in my town that I really like because they have a huge cocktail menu and they make some really geeky drinks, and you know that's what I like to drink. You know, but so to answer your question, I generally drink my spirits neat. So after work, I'll have a cheap American beer and some rum or some whiskey neat, or maybe some Fernet Branca, or you know, depending on the time of the day or the mood I'm in. But
no bourbon, pure.
No bourbon. I mean, just by itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, like whiskey is you go with the Scotch or bourbon you drink.
Is when it comes to scotches, I'm not a huge Scotch guy. I do really like Highland Park. Mainly because it's really not very peated, and the peat they do use is very aromatic. It's not, like where it's from, they have tons of heather in their peat, whereas a lot of other places it's a lot more wood and vegetable matter, so it's like it, you can say it's like incense as opposed to campfire. You know, it's very aromatic. Plus, there's only 2 to 4 peats part per million in, like, their 12-year. So I really like Highland Park when it comes to scotch. Or, I mean, there's some blends I'll drink. But generally speaking, when it comes to whiskey, I like Irish a lot. I like Powers is good. And Turconnell I really like. And then when it comes to American whiskey, like you mentioned Jack Daniels, there's another Tennessee whiskey called George Dickel that's fairly good. But yeah, Four Roses, their yellow label, it's a little sweet, just neat by itself, no ice, it's delicious.
But is every bourbon so sweet? Is it a normal thing for this kind of drink, or do you get...
Here's the way I look at it. If you don't want something that's quite as sweet, I would look for a rye, because like an easy way to describe it, look at it like bread. So you make bourbon with grain, corn, rye, wheat. Look at bread. Cornbread? Like, compare cornbread to rye bread to wheat. Wheat's very smooth. Rye's kind of spicy. And the corn's kind of sweet. You know, I mean, that's a really kind of good way to look
you
at it.
You will not get it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the only way is to have it high proof, you know, something overproof, maybe 50%. You know, it's not going to be as sweet. It's going to be, less water, more alcohol in there, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I don't drink a ton of whiskey these days, but I do enjoy it.
Yeah, we drink cognac very much
in
the last days.
Yeah, and I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It was the first time to try it, such a big range of cognacs. And which one was to stay in your mind?
I mean, I would say, I got to say that 1914. And the biggest reason is not because it was the oldest we tried, but when I picked up that glass and smelled it, if I was in a blind tasting, never would I say that was cognac. I would say that's either something that's been finished in a Madeira sherry barrel, or it might even been Madeira, you know, some aged Madeira that's really woody. It didn't, you know, it tasted like a cognac, but like, I mean, but the smell, like, I don't know. I mean, definitely you could pick up those notes, those Madeira and sherry notes in the taste. But that one was amazing. And I also really like the Leopold Gourmet stuff, Gourmet. It was really interesting. I don't know if I'll, I mean, that stuff, I've never even seen it before. So who knows if I'll, you know, I might have to come back to cognac to try more.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. This guy was very interesting from his philosophy.
Yeah.
Why he do it this way. And
what he said was pretty much the opposite of what everyone else said.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he do a different thing.
He liked low acid, high alcohol, you know, whereas everyone else said high acid, low alcohol. And yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Of course.
See you next time.
Yeah.
Hope so.